Hello, and welcome to People Profit Planet. I'm Christina Anderson.
And I'm Alejandro Galeana Salinas.
And today we are going to be talking about some community activism for environmental justice in different parts of, the United States. We're going to start off by focusing a little bit on Berea and then moving on to some stuff and some actions that have been going on in Chicago, as well as Alejandro has a story. Where did you say that takes place?
This is mainly focused in Florida.
Florida. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So, just a couple reminders before we get started on what we're going to talk about today. Make sure to, Easter is this weekend. If you guys are going home for the weekend, make sure to use Zimride to carpool with people and get connected to rides. So that's always a great program to use that the college provides for us. So, we also have a small little announcement about, Alejandro found something about the monarch migration that's going to be coming up in a little bit. So you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was digging around, right? And, well, in my activist circles, we use the monarch butterfly a lot to represent our migration patterns, you know, mm-hmm. Through Mexico to the United States. And ironically enough, by great coincidence, I guess, monarchs are scheduled to come to Kentucky by May, but they're mm-hmm. already coming back. By the end of March, they should be going out through the South, you know, coming back. Because what they do is what it's called is overwintering, essentially, mm-hmm. where they go to Mexico and they go to California to wait out the winter. So they're coming mm-hmm. their way back now that it's spring and summer soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really cool. Maybe in a later episode we might talk a little bit more about some of the issues with the environment and some of the depleting habitats that comes along with issues with the monarch butterflies and their population size. So,
and maybe some initiatives on how to revert that.
Yeah, and some stuff that's been going on in Berea. Mm-hmm. Specifically some stuff that maybe the president's wife has been doing. Mm-hmm. So look for that in a later episode. But today we're going to be talking about just a little initiative that Celts originally had, but this year the Office of Sustainability is taking over this initiative. It's the 6th annual Brushy Fork cleanup. So basically, the Brushy Fork cleanup is going to be this year on April 9th. It's off of Scaffold Cane Road, and it's at the Brushy Fork Park in Berea College. Basically, what you do is there's all this trash that has been just from people going and looking at the park and being there and going hiking or whatever else. People leave their trash around. So very quickly, the environment is able to be overrun by trash and that sort of stuff. So we take the initiative to go out there and clean up this beautiful environment. So from 9:30 to 10, we're going to have registration and breakfast. So that's when around the time it starts. And then the actual cleanup is from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then we're all going to go to lunch at the alumni building. And for those off-campus students, there's a way for you guys to get like a lunch for free as well. So make sure to come out on April 9th to help out with the Brushy Fork cleanup so that we can make the habitat that Berea College, that we basically inhabit as well, beautiful again. So before we get started, or before I talk about, I have a story about Little Village, which is it's an environmental justice group in Chicago that I'm going to be talking a little bit more about. But before we get to that, I have a song. So, Alejandro, would you like to introduce it?
Absolutely. The first song is actually very much related to environmental justice, actually. It's called Somos Sur by Energy Jukes.
Okay, cool. So, here we go.
Tú Unos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, correr, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender como esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se pega el imperio, lo gritamos alto, no queda más remedio. Esto no es utopía, es alegre rebeldía del baile de los que sobran de la danza que me mía. Levantarnos para decir llevar, ni África ni América Latina se suba. Con barro, con casco, con lápiz a patear el fiasco, provocar un social terremoto en este charco. Venceremos del cielo al suelo y del suelo al cielo vamos. Gallito blanco, vuelve pa' tu pueblo. No te tenemos miedo, tenemos vida y fuego. Fuego en nuestras manos, fuego en nuestros ojos. Tenemos tanta vida y esta fuerza color rojo. La niña María no quiere tu castigo. Se va a liberar con el suelo palestino. Somos africanos, latinoamericanos. Somos este sur y juntamos nuestras manos. Todos los callados.
And we're back. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization. This is an organization that comes out of Little Village, Chicago. And just going on their Facebook page or even their website, you can see some of the efforts that they've done in their own community. So I'm going to read you a little bit of their mission and vision statement to kind of talk about basically what this organization is trying to do for Little Village. So The mission of LVEJO, that's the acronym, is to organize with our community to accomplish environmental justice in Little Village and achieve the self-determination of immigrant, low-income, and working-class families. Our vision is to build a sustainable community that promotes the healthy development of youth and families, provides economic justice and practices, participatory democracy, and self-determination. So a lot of what they do is education within their own community. You can look up some of the actions that they've been taking specifically, but one of the very first hurdles that they had to get over was basically they found that in their community, They have some statistics on this website. It says that it is estimated that about 47% of the population in Little Village are foreign-born residents. It is predominantly a Mexican-American neighborhood of a home to about 100,000 residents. But one of the biggest problems that this community was facing, they have the least amount of green space per capita in the city of Chicago. And they also have some of the highest rates of asthma, obesity, teen birth, and mental health rates in Chicago. So to try and combat this, one of the very first things that they did was they shut down one of the big coal-producing factories. One of the things that they do in their community is they take toxic tours, which is basically a tour of the different, I guess you could say, hazardous places mm-hmm. in Little Village, Chicago, showing off, you know, this is where this is where the problems lie. These big factories that rely on coal are the problems, and this is why we have such terrible health rates in our community. So I think this organization is just one of the best ones that's trying to... I just, you know, Googled it but for my sociology class, but it's definitely trying to combat some of the environmental racism that is still very, very predominant in our society, and that's something that I think a lot of people don't really think about. You know, you have racism and discrimination in pretty much all aspects of life. You know, you have, like, job discrimination, but then, you know, in your own community and the health of your children is also being discriminated against because you're in a low-income neighborhood, or even just a largely Mexican-American, you know, area that, you know, politicians might not necessarily care about. So one of the biggest things that they do is trying to get their community involved and also the youth involved. They have a newsletter that goes out that they write. I think it's written by the youth, probably for the youth as well, but I mean the larger community as well. It's called El Cilantro. I haven't looked up any of their articles yet, but I'm sure it's really great. I mean, when you look on their Facebook page, their timeline photo is just all of these youth educating older citizens and older community members about this problem. It looks like they're, you know, picketing and doing protests and also educating people as well. So I think this is just a really great organization that's trying to combat some of the more environmental issues. Another initiative, I think, I don't know if it was actually achieved or if they're working on it. They were trying to get a park because they do have some of the they have the least amount of green space, which is very, very important because if children don't have you know, parks and stuff to go to and they're just running around in, you know, unclean coal-filled air, it's not the best, you know. I think it's vital for even people in the city to have a little bit of green space that they can go to and play on. So I think this organization is doing a great job of trying to get their community together and help make some changes. So that's pretty great. Alejandro, what was the story that you were going to talk about a little bit?
It's also sort of similar, but from a different aspect, actually. Mm-hmm. It concerns more about farm workers and farm worker justice, you know, and just justice through food, essentially, fair mm-hmm. trade and fair food. And essentially the organization that I, you know, was very happy to meet back in 2014 was the Coalition of Immokalee Farm Workers, or a coalition of Immokalee workers, but, you know, they are farm workers. They are based in Immokalee, Florida, and essentially, you know, it's a unionship of farm workers, so that's very important. You know, they got together and they realized they were being mistreated, they were getting underpaid. Essentially, a lot of people don't know how farm work works, essentially. Yeah. I mean, even I don't, you know, too much, or I did until, mm-hmm. like, I went down there. And, you know, like, what they do is they don't get paid by the hour or anything. Yeah. They get paid based on how many buckets of produce they get. And the buckets are about, I think, you know, like a regular bucket, about 50 pounds I can hold.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some of them. They're really, really, they're huge. Actually, there's a show on Netflix called, I believe it's like 30 Days or something.
Right,
He's the same guy who did Super Size Me. And he has a series where he goes and he lives, like, I think 30 days or more in a certain environment. Mm-hmm. And he lived the life of an immigrant worker. Mm-hmm. And it was this huge bucket of oranges he had to, like, pick. And, I mean, everyone was laughing at him because of, like, he couldn't do it as fast as everyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, he couldn't even imagine, like, having to provide for his family based on, like, that low income of this huge bucket. Mm-hmm. So that's something you can always look up if you want to. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit more research about that. But continue.
Yeah, no
that
problem.
That's just my input.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that, you know, people are hearing about this, you know. But yeah, like these buckets are about 50 pounds each. Depends what produce you're trying to pick. Mm-hmm. Either, or, like you said, oranges, tomatoes, strawberries. Mm-hmm. Those are all different sizes. Yeah. So you can imagine how much harder you have to work to make the same amount for strawberries or blueberries. You know, like it's ridiculous. but you essentially get paid pennies like on each bucket.
Yeah.
So you fill a 50 pound bucket and you get paid 40 cents for it. So that's less than like, you know, that's less
ridiculous.
Than a penny for each pound. So what this initiative was, what the Coalition of Immokalee Workers tried to push was a fair food program, which they have had really good success with, thankfully, over the years. Like I said, I went in 2014. They started back in 2010. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of companies to sign the fair food program, you know, and say they're going to pay them, you know, fair wages for their labor, you know, so that they can make a better living, you know. So some of these places that have agreed are places like a Burger King as a fast food restaurant, and places like Walmart as a chain store, you know, a supermarket chain store. Mm-hmm. Some places that have not and are very resistant to signing this fair food program contract is Wendy's and Publix. And ever since I heard that, I've never shopped there ever again. And that's been about 2 years now. But then again, like, I never shopped at Publix in general.
Yeah.
Like, I always would go to Kroger or something. Yeah. But, and Kroger's actually on the Fair Food Program. Mm-hmm. And more on that soon. So, yeah, like, that's your own way, you know, of being able
definitely.
To voice your opinion, voice your concern, you know, by boycotting, you know. Very, you know, that has strong roots in American history. And actually, very, very recently, on March 22nd, 2016... Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to announce. They actually, I saw it on their website.
Yeah.
The Coalition of Immokalee Workers were able to, you know, sign a, you know, get Whole Foods to sign a contract. They were actually the first ones to agree on doing sign the Fair Food Program for their oranges, Whole Foods. And now, back in 2010, and now in 2016, March 22nd, 2016, they have agreed to also do Fair Food certified strawberries as well. So, you know, super important how, you know, how these initiatives have a strong impact, how, you know, like, you know, we're all part of a bigger chain. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the food, just so you know, most of the produce that comes from in the United States comes from Florida, for one thing. And like, you know, that, bumper sticker that is around, it says, essentially like without farmers, there's no food or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's super true, you know? So it's super important to think where you know, where your food comes from, and did it come from, you know, fair wages? Did it come from, you know, not exploitation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good to think that way and shop that way as well.
Definitely. I think it's one thing to, push initiatives for, you know, bees and making sure they have a sustainable habitat, because without bees we don't have food. But it's another thing to make sure that the people that are, you know, growing the food and the people that are, you know, picking the food or whatever else that happens to the food, you have to make sure that those people have a sustainable environment as well, that they're able to actually live on their wages. So I love that there are just so many organizations out there that are definitely trying to make changes towards being fair. So definitely. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
No, not much for the moment.
Okay.
The moment, I mean, there's so much history we can get into, of course. But yeah, for the moment, I think that's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm going to play a song. It is called Electric Feel by MGMT. It's a really good one, and it's really good. Okay, here we go. We're back. So, before we leave, I'm going to read off the results for week six of the Eco Challenge. So, the Eco Village is in the lead. They've reached their £6 per person goal. So, all the students living there are going to be entered in a chance to win a year of free Netflix. So, that's really, really cool. Fairchild is in the lead. So, they're still on their way to winning a catered dinner of their choice. The CDL is actually above Fairchild at £3.92 per person. So, I'm very proud of all the little kids there for their recycling. Mm-hmm. Seabury Dorm is after Fairchild, followed by Deep Green, Anna Smith, Edwards Kettering Pearsons, Kentucky Talcott, E.R., Danforth, Dana, Blue Ridge, and then James. So those are the results for week 6. And I believe we only have one more week left of the Eco Challenge. So it's never too late to try and go on out and recycle some more stuff. Maybe, I don't know if you can still reach the 6 pounds per person thing, but maybe, you know. I know we've been doing some recycling games around campus, part of the Fresh Start Initiative. I took some pictures in Dana of some of that going on. So, yes. So, yes, the Eco Challenge has been pretty successful. We're going to leave with a song. Alejandro, if you'd like to introduce it.
Yeah, absolutely. This song also talks about environmental justice and just, like, essentially labor rights. And it talks about, you know, being, you know, one with the earth, essentially, and which is very important. I feel like we've lost that, you know. Mm-hmm. So the song name is Vango by Ana T. Jukes.
Vengo en busca de respuestas con el manojo lleno y las venas abiertas. Vengo como un libro abierto, ansiosa de aprender la historia no contada de nuestros ancestros, con el viento que dejaron los abuelos y que vive en cada pensamiento de esta amada tierra, tierra. Quien sabe cuidarlo es quien de verdad la quiera. Vengo para mirar de nuevo, para ver lo cierto y despertar el ojo ciego. Sin miedo, tú y yo descolonicemos lo que nos enseñaron. Con nuestro pelo negro, con pómulos marcados, con el orgullo indio en el alma tatuado. Vengo con la mirada, vengo con la palabra, esa palabra hablada. Vengo sin temor a no perder nada. Vengo como el niño que busca de su morada la entrada al origen, la vuelta de su cruzada. Vengo a buscar la historia silenciada, la historia de una tierra saqueada. Vengo con el mundo y vengo con los pájaros. Vengo con las flores y los árboles, sus cantos. Vengo con el cielo y sus constelaciones. Vengo con el mundo y todas sus estaciones. Vengo agradecida al punto de partida. Vengo con la madera, la montaña y la vida. Vengo con el aire, el agua, la tierra y el fuego. Vengo a mirar el mundo de nuevo. Vengo con mis ideas como escudo, con el sentir humano, a vivir este mundo donde el hombre nuevo busca el contrapunto. Vengo, mano, vengo como tú, en busca de la huella, de la pieza del árbol y de su corteza, que guarda en su memoria que el canto de victoria. Cuando vimos de la tierra lloramos con tal euforia y abrimos así nuestros brazos tan encadilados y nos acurrucamos al origen de los tiempos, a la fuente del universo donde yace el sentimiento de vivir este comienzo. Vengo con la sangre roja, con los pulmones llenos de rimas en mi boca, con los ojos rasgados, con la tierra en las manos. Venimos con el mundo y venimos con su canto. Vengo a construir un sueño, el brillo de la vida que habita en el hombre nuevo. Vengo buscando un ideal de un mundo sin clase que se pueda levantar. Vengo con los pájaros, vengo con las flores y los árboles, sus cantos. Vengo con el cielo y sus constelaciones. Vengo con el mundo y todas sus estaciones. Vengo agradecida al punto de partida. Vengo con la madera, la montaña y la vida. Vengo con el aire, el agua, la tierra y el fuego. Vengo a mirar el mundo de nuevo. Vengo, vengo a mirar el mundo de nuevo. De respuestas con el manojo lleno y las venas abiertas. Vengo, vengo buscando un ideal de un mundo sin clase que se pueda levantar. Vengo con nuestro pelo negro, con pómulos marcados, con el orgullo indio en el alma tatuado. Vengo.